The following is audio from Fellowship Community Church in Centennial, Colorado. If you would like more resources or want to support this ministry, please visit www.fcchurch.org.
I don't know how it's been for you this month, but we've enjoyed looking through Psalm 119. It is the longest chapter in the Bible, 176 verses. I hope that you have been inspired by the passion that the singer has for the Word of God, which he has all these various titles to describe, the law, the statutes, the precepts, on and on his list goes of how he describes the Word of God. And out of 176 verses, almost every one makes some reference to the Word of God. And entitled this series, God's Talk, Our Walk. So in some ways, Psalm 119 is like a litmus test on sanctification and growing in our relationship with Christ, even though it was written in the Old Testament times. Today, we're going to look at the very last section of this, and here's some words Jesus said. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. Now, in the context, little ones might be small children of age. It also may be those who have just trusted Christ or those who are newly trusting Christ. And the Savior is good at seeking those who are lost. Hallelujah. What a blessing that is. So today we're going to talk about wandering sheep. And we're going to begin today where we ended up last week, the very last verse of Psalm 119. I have strayed like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your commands. Now this is just amazing that after 175 verses of talking about how he loves the Word and he gains understanding and he practices the Word, finally in this last verse, we hear him admitting that he falls short. The law only helps me to know I need a Savior, but that doesn't make the law bad. And so he expresses a regret first. I have strayed like a lost sheep. I've strayed. I've wandered. I have made errors. I stagger like a drunkard at times. And this is very dangerous. All of that is in that word. He calls himself a lost sheep. Now, he's still a sheep. He's still in the flock of God. But he senses he's lost. He's in danger. There's a potential that he could even die. In fact, this word lost is used to describe Satan himself. It's a title for Satan. He is the one who inflicts pain and suffering. Now, I want you to notice, this is a fact of history. He's not saying this might be a theory. He's very honest. He's saying it as a statement of fact. I have strayed like a lost sheep. Now, if we were honest, all of us can say that too. Now, what follows his statement of regret is a request, and it's an urgent request. Seek your servant. Yes, it's a very urgent request. The word seek means seek until you find. Don't just make some half-hearted search. No. Seek until you find your servant. And God is good at that. He seeks. He hunts us down. And he is a servant, he says. Now, I don't know how you react to the statement to say to God, I'm your servant, but that's a position of honor. I mean, yes, we're his children in faith, but we're also his servants. And there he has a lot to say about how a servant is blessed, how a servant is courageous, how a servant is defended. The word servant is used of Israel. It's used of the Messiah in other places. And so he makes an urgent request. And then he concludes with a response, "For I have not forgotten your commands. I have not forgotten your commands, even though I have wandered and I need you to search for me. I have not forgotten your commands." The commands are almost always linked with the relationship we have with God. So when we see the translation command, it may mislead us, but this is a very tender, intimate relationship, just as one of those songs we just sang, you know, of how we can cast our burdens on the Lord because he cares for us. And that's what his commands are like. And so he says, even in the wandering, I'm still not forgetting your commands. That's quite a statement. He's wandered into the land of ignorance. He's wandered perhaps into the land of apathy, but he wants his relationship with God to be restored, and that's why he made the urgent request, seek your servant. So, what does the singer do to guard against the wandering? That's the question I want to try to answer from this passage. And this is like the most profound outline you've ever seen. He prays to God. He praises God. He plans with God. Is that not so simple? Pastor Rick, please, you're insulting my intelligence here. But sometimes it's the simple truth that can transform us and give us encouragement. And this is exactly what he is doing in this very last section. As we said, this is an acrostic poem. Every verse in this section begins with the Hebrew letter Tau, which is the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So he begins by praying to God. He prays to God, "May my cry come before you, Lord. Give me understanding according to your word." He's crying out. That shows urgency in his prayer. He is crying out. He's in a desperate crisis of some kind. And he wants God not just to look into his situation, he's bringing his request right to the face of God. I'm bringing it right to you. May my cry come before you, Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. How many times have we wandered into foreign pastures because we just didn't understand? We didn't understand what God was doing. We got lost because we were just confused. We were wandering. And the scripture says, you know, that he pursues us in our wandering. Sometimes I just said, Lord, I got to have your perspective. I don't understand. And sometimes we have been disappointed by God because we didn't understand. And so it's very wise that he is crying out for understanding according to the word of God for his circumstances, for his crisis that he's crying out to God for. So he's praying very urgently. And then this next verse is again a prayer. May my supplication come before you, deliver me according to your promise. Basically an echo of what he just said. The word supplication is a big word for ask and request. And there's always requests for grace, for favor. And it almost always comes in a context of distress or discouragement or confusion. And so that fits with exactly what we just saw. May it come before your face. Again, that same sort of, I come before you, that same phrase, deliver me according to your promise. God has said many promises, and he's basing his prayer on the promise of God, deliver me. Stretch out your hand and snatch me out of this, is one way to say it. This word is sometimes used for spiritual salvation. David uses it that way. But we've been rescued a lot in life. For instance, we went out to lunch this week with the staff. It was my birthday, so I got to pick where we went. And on the way back, Chris Winkler, God bless him, was my rescuer because he was in the back seat and I tried to make a move into the left lane and there was a car there and he says, watch it! And I came back into the lane And you know, that dear little old lady that was in that car, she got so far away from me. She wouldn't come anywhere near my car again. So I'm not quite sure when I read this whether he's looking for ultimate salvation or whether he's looking for a temporary rescue. I think it's both. I think that's what he's doing. And how is he keeping himself from wandering? He's praying. It's really impossible to say how it is that prayer just keeps us from wandering. But even if we find ourselves wandering, we pray. And maybe we just don't understand. We need some more clarification. Then pray. That's what the psalmist is doing. That's what the singer is doing. I love this verse. It's a verse I memorized so long ago. Until now, you've not asked for anything in my name. Ask! Jesus said, ask and you'll receive that your joy may be complete. We ask in his name, not because it's a magical formula. Oh, no, no. It's because we come in the authority of Jesus Christ. We come into the presence of the Father in him. And we have the right to ask requests, anything and everything. Isn't that wonderful? I am so glad that God is not like the health insurance people I try to call to get Medicare, who keep me on hold forever. I did get my card now. I took it into the office and I threw it in the trash can. And Dave retrieved it and he, you know, put it in the plastic so it will be preserved. I'd rather have it in the circular filing cabinet. Anyway, he prayed. It's so wonderful. So secondly, he praises God. And again, you can easily see the connection, brothers and sisters, that if you are tempted to wander, sometimes you need to refocus and praise God. You need to start looking beyond your circumstances and looking up and praising God. And he first speaks about his lips. May my lips overflow with praise. May they bubble up and overflow with praise. For you teach me your decrees. He again and again has said, God is the one who teaches us. And that's such a blessing. He teaches us through his word. He takes the word of truth and the spirit of truth. And he does amazing transformation in our lives. And it is God who is teaching him. And so he just wants to give praise to God. The singer wants to praise him. And he's talked about this teaching before. And then he speaks of his tongue. He spoke of his lips. May my tongue sing of your word. For you, all your commands are righteous. What a blessing. I want to sing about the word. I want to sing about what God has revealed in nature and in his words and in his commands. They are righteous. They are true and they work. That's the interesting thing. How do I know that his commands are true? In part because they really work. Josh Reagan is our intern this summer, and he's such a great guy. I've just really enjoyed getting to know him. So he has been studying theology for 7 years, and he is on his internship with us, and this is it. He graduates. He gets all the honors of his MDiv degree after 7 years of raising kids, and he is a manager of a grocery store. And as I've been meeting with Josh, it's been so sweet because I listen to how he handles people, how he handles the workers, how he does this and that. And he is employing biblical principle. And he's been very successful. His store is doing well. Again, why? Because God's commands are righteous. They work. They're true. I love to sing about the word. Here's a good word. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Just a simple outline, the same truth. What is going to help me stay away from wandering? Praising God. Praising God. Stopping to give him praise. Taking a praise break, as we've said before, is so helpful. Sometimes in the midst of doubts, I have to grit my teeth and praise God. I don't understand, Lord, but I'm going to praise you. I don't know how this is going to work out, but I know you've got a plan. I love those words of Corrie Ten Boom, that incredibly courageous Dutch woman and her family who rescued people during World War II, Jewish folk from the Nazis, and lost all her family in prison camps. She herself was in prison camp, and she used to say it so well. Never fear to trust an unknown future to a known God. See? And that's the beauty of it. And so praise Him, even in the midst of misunderstanding. And finally, plan with God. Now, I love this because here he's planning with God because he's optimistic about the future. As a follower of Jesus Christ, as one of his sheep, you have every right to be optimistic. Plan with God. How do you get out of wandering? Plan with God. That makes sense, doesn't it? May your hand be ready to help me, for I've chosen your precepts. It's kind of interesting. God has a big hand. I mean, he's obviously speaking, theologians say, anthropomorphically. He's attributing human nature to the Spirit of God. But God rescued the Israelites out of Egypt by his hand and his strong arm. So the hand is a symbol of power. But it's also a symbol of submission, that we need to submit to him. It's a symbol of possession. It's a symbol of generosity. It's a symbol of victory. All those things and more. And I love the way it's said in Ezra. Ezra was a priest who, after the captivity, had to go back to Jerusalem and teach the people again about the law and about the temple. And they'd been gone for 70 years, so it was quite a task. And it says in Ezra 7:6, this Ezra came up from Babylon. He was a teacher, well-versed in the law of Moses, which the Lord, the God of Israel, had given. The king had granted him everything he asked for the hand of the Lord his God was on him. It was the hand of the Lord that was guiding him. And then later, in the same chapter, at the very end of the chapter, he says, "Praise be to the God of our ancestors, who has put into the king's heart to bring honor to the house of the Lord in Jerusalem in this way, and who has extended his good favor to me before the king and his advisors and all the king's powerful officials. Because the hand of the Lord my God was on me, I took courage and gathered leaders from Israel to go up with me." It was the hand of the Lord. If you picture the hand of the Lord, picture it as a powerful aid in your life. Not as someone that's going to crush you or stomp you. Sometimes the word of hand is used for judgment, but here it's a very blessed truth. I've chosen your precepts, so, Lord, get your hand ready to help me. I long for your salvation, Lord, and your law gives me delight. I long for your salvation. I long for it. I seek it. And again, it could be those temporary rescues that he's speaking about. For your law is my delight. And your law gives me delight. His written revelation gives me delight. And then finally, I love this one, his life. Let me live that I may praise you, and may your laws sustain me. So again, how do you get out of wandering? Look at your life. Plan ahead for how you're going to praise God today and tomorrow and the next day and next week. Let me live that I may praise you. That almost sounds like the Westminster Confession that says, what's the sole purpose of human beings? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And that's what it almost sounds like when he's saying this. I just want to live so I can keep praising you. And by the way, your laws are sustaining me. They're giving me sustenance for life. The judgments of God are sustaining me. Now, in each verse, we see that he's very optimistic. And as he's planning with God, he looks forward to God's hand and God's salvation and his own life. And it reminds me of Paul, when Paul says, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." And then he goes on to say, "If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. If I die, yeah, that'll be gain. My faith will be sight. I'll see Jesus face to face." My father used to say that to me all the time. My father's been gone 12 years, and I can still hear him saying, "I live every day to see the face of Jesus Christ. That's what I'm longing for. And when he breathed his last, and I bowed by his bed, and I gave thanks for his life, I knew in that moment he was seeing Jesus face to face." So he reached his goal. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But if I go on living, it's going to mean fruitful labor for me. Don't plan for failure. Plan for success. Plan for fruit to be born. Expect that to happen. This is what the psalmist has been trying to teach us all this way. 175 verses. But he still made that admission, didn't he? In that last verse, he said it well. I have strayed like a lost sheep. That's his regret. Seek your servant. That's his request. For I have not forgotten your commands. That's his response. Now, I want to tell you about a fellow by the name of Robert Robinson, and this is the conclusion, thank you, because we got three people to baptize this morning. Robert Robinson was born into a home where there was no faith, and it was a pretty miserable home. His parents fought a lot. His father died when he was young. His mother, as a single parent, tried to take care of him. He stopped formal education at age 13, and Robinson went off to learn the trade of being a barber. And while he was learning the trade, he was a mess. He was into all kinds of trouble. He was getting into all kinds of trouble. And so one day his young buddy said, let's go listen to this guy, George Whitfield. He's an evangelist. This was a few years ago. George and I went to kindergarten together. Anyway, so they go off, and the whole purpose is to mock it and to make fun of it. But Robert Robinson said, even though he went there with that intention, he couldn't forget what Whitfield was saying. And it wasn't until a couple years later that he actually put his trust in Christ, when he was still a young man, but he still always remembered that encounter with Whitfield. And so even though he had very little education, in fact, hardly any at all, he started preaching. And he used to be with the Methodists, and then he ended up with the Baptists. Yep, he ended up with the Baptists. And a pretty effective preacher. In fact, he pastored a church for some years, and in fact, decades, and it was very fruitful. Now, when he was just 22, he wrote a song. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace, streams of mercy never ceasing, calls for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, I'm fixed upon it, mount of God's unchanging love. And he goes on, here I raise my Ebenezer, which is a signpost that God's been with me all this way. Hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. It is a great gospel hymn. But in verse 3, when he was 22, he said something that's very interesting. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let that grace now like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. Robert Robinson had 12 children. He pastored very effectively for decades, but he was very open-minded to a lot of opinions. And as time went on, he got so very concerned about people's temporal needs, being fed, being clothed, being cared for on this planet, that it distracted his theology. He began to wander from the essentials of the faith. He died when he was 54. His last sermon was preached to a group of Unitarians who deny the deity of Jesus, who deny the work of Christ. That was his last sermon. Some say he had abandoned the faith. But he himself had written a year before that he still held to Orthodox doctrine. So I'm not here to judge Robert Robinson. I'm just here to use him as an example that we all potentially might wander. And how can we learn to not wander? What can we do? Well, it's very simple. You can keep praying to God. You can keep praising God. You can keep planning with God for your future. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. prone to leave the God I love. Here is my heart. Here's my life. Here's my everything. Take and seal it for thy courts above. He gave the answer in the song, didn't he? And so today, may God inspire us as we hear the testimony of three folks that are getting baptized today, and as we remember from Psalm 119, we're so glad we're through 176 verses. Keep a praying. Keep a praising. Keep a planning. Dear Father, thank you for this incredibly wonderful chapter. Thank you, Jesus, for seeking those who are lost. Thank you, Lord, that you came to seek and to save all that was lost. One day we will look in heaven at a new heaven and a new earth, and we will experience all that you planned in Eden. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving us of our sins. Thank you, Lord, for showing us mercy and grace. Thank you that your grace never runs out. There is always mercy. There is always grace. We can keep a praying. We can keep a praising. We can keep a planning, because you are a God who is faithful, even when we wander. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to audio from Fellowship Community Church in Centennial, Colorado. If you'd like more resources or want to support this ministry, please visit www.fcchurch.org.